Like she said, I'm Leah Roney with Fish and Wildlife, and I'm going to talk to you about the adult monitoring in the Upper Chehalis and chum in the Lower Chehalis. So as Marisa said, there was data gaps that were discussed when this whole program first started, and one of those data gaps was the, let's see if I can make this work, was the coho, chinook, steelhead in this upper basin. And another data gap was the chum abundance and distribution in the lower basin. We're gonna first talk about the upper basin. Whoops, wrong button, sorry. I'm gonna first talk about the upper basin and then we'll talk about chum later. All right, so we started the project in the upper basin in 2013. And over 6 years, we've come up with an average production from the upper basin that contributes to the rest of the basin. And as you, steelhead here contributes 15% to the all the populations in the Chehalis Basin from only about 4% of the habitat. So these other spring chinook, fall chinook, and coho have a lower percentage, which kind of leads to the thought that maybe some additional restoration in the upper basin could help out with those numbers. But again, these numbers may be more significant than they look like right here because they may contribute, and you'll hear some talks later today, they may contribute to populations that are more genetically diverse. So the numbers there may seem low, but they could be a huge portion of a genetically diverse population. All right, jumping right into it, we have steelhead abundance ranging from about 950 in 2018, the last year of the study, to 1864, I didn't do anything. And as you can, or as you see, I'm not touching anything, I swear. Technical difficulties. Pardon us.
What's a conference without some technical difficulties?
Try the old jiggle trick.
Don't die, okay. I'll stay away. All right, so when we first started doing this monitoring, steelhead was the most abundant salmonid coming out of the upper basin. And as you, in 2015, it starts to go down a little bit. So that decline is is reflected throughout the entire basin, and it's also reflected throughout entire Washington State. Coho abundance ranged from 174 to over 2,100, pretty significant difference. In 2017, coho overtook steelhead as the highest producing salmonid out of the basin. If you see this drops right here, these two drops, they're 3 years apart, and coho have like a three-year life cycle, and they come back every 3 years, and if you trace those dips back, you'll find that they actually coincide with the 2007 flood, and so they got decimated in that and they have yet to recover. And that we'll probably see in this year another dip in that upper basin production. So fall chinook, about 239 here to 578. And they don't have any obvious trends at this point, but they are the least abundant, or one of the least abundant salmonids coming out of the upper basin compared to coho and steelhead. And we did have a nice little jump right here last year, which also was reflected in the rest of the basin. Spring chinook, the least run that comes out of the upper basin. Very few come out of the upper basin, three fish to 65 fish. This doesn't necessarily reflect the health or the how the spring chinook are doing in the basin, since the majority of spring chinook come out of the New Waltham and the Skookum Chuck, not from the Upper Chehalis. So spring and fall chinook overlap in time and space. So one of the issues we've run into is identification in the field for run type. And after this couple of years of the study, we refined the method for calling the runs, which could be one of the reasons. We went from a cutoff date of October 15th trying to implement more of a weight of evidence approach to calling the salmonids that we see in that during that time frame. So that may account for the drop that goes from 65 to 3. However, it also may be actual drop in abundance numbers in that area. And it could probably be both. All right, spring chinook distribution. I had to combine all 6 years of the data for this graph so you could actually see where they tend to hang out. Otherwise, you'd have one point on there, and that wouldn't do us much good. So spring chinook hang out in the main stem, almost exclusively. If they had a greater abundance, they may use the upper forks and then more of the upper main stem. We don't know at this point. And then a couple of years ago, we started monitoring below this the facility, that their proposed facility, just to see what's going on down there. And we find that there's a decent amount of spring chinook spawning around PL, and then it kind of evenly spaced as we go down past Elk Creek, and then down New Waltham is right there. So spring chinook spawn throughout that area as well. Fall chinook, they're also main stem spawners. They prefer the main stem, though they do head up into the forks, West Fork and East Fork here quite a bit, and they'll do trips as well. A lot of it depends on the flows and the conditions of that year. Oh, sorry. The main stem going downstream, pretty heavily abundance around the PL area again, and again kind of starts dispersing as it heads downstream towards New Waltham. So. Steelhead. So steelhead, I missed coho, sorry. Coho. So coho are primarily tributary spawners. They prefer to be up in the upper reaches. And so about 50% of coho are in the tributaries. 40% hang out in the forks, and only 10% hang out in the main stem. And downstream, you can see over there, hardly any coho hang out in the main stem, Chehalis downstream of the survey area. But they do hang out, and where they are is PL. Steelhead distribution. So steelhead, oddly enough, 50% of steelhead like to hang out in the forks, so the West Fork and the East Fork of Chehalis. About 25% in the tributaries, and 25% in the main stem. Downstream, we have a good cluster again around PL area. Unfortunately, we didn't get a survey in this area in 2018. But you also notice here that after you get past Elk Creek and Rainbow Falls here, you don't have any spawning down below that. All right, spawn timing. So we mentioned the overlap in chinook and in the chinook, fall chinook and spring chinook. Spring chinook start in September and go through mid-October, peaking right around the beginning of October, end of September. And that is hard to see on this graph, but that's the case for the lower down in the main stem as well. Fall chinook start in late September, peak mid to late October, and go all the way through November. And coho overlap with those as well. And they peak down up in December, early to mid-December, but they spawn all the way into February. And then steelhead start at the end of December, early January, peak in April, and they spawn all the way into June. So the moral of that story is that they're spawning from mid-September to mid to late June every year. So there's not a whole lot of gaps in spawning in the upper basin during that time frame. All right, hatchery presence in the upper basin. So finding steelhead carcasses is difficult because obviously, or maybe not obviously, but they don't tend to die after they spawn. So finding carcasses is difficult. The standard practice has been to use a March 15th cutoff date to determine what's hatchery. So before March 15th is hatchery fish, after March 15th is not. Is natural origin, and that's based off of the Chamber Creek stock that a lot of hatcheries use for their brood stock, and they're an early spawner. So in the Chehalis Basin, Chambers Creek stock has not been used for over 10 years. There's some use of it down in Hump Tulips, but in the rest of the basin, there's been no usage, no releases for 10 years. So we don't think that the March 15th cutoff date is a good date to use to determine hatchery fish. So we decided to try and do some snorkeling to see if we could visually observe any adipose clipped fin fish, which is the mark of the hatchery fish. So we started snorkels the last year of the study back in February. We had a snorkel, a short one, but it was cold. And we had like four more snorkels mid-April. And during that time frame, the observations of steelhead, we saw 168 unmarked, so adipose fin intact, steelhead observed, 38 unknown adipose clipped, so we couldn't see it well enough to make a call, but zero confirmed adipose clipped fish, so no adipose clipped fish that we saw up there. However, we did have, out of the five steelhead we did find during that season, we had two that came back as hatchery. So, you know, what this tells us is that we don't actually know what the hatchery contribution for steelhead is in the upper basin. And if we want to know that, we're going to have to do a different study design and do some more work on that. Other than that, coho and chinook, there's little to no hatchery influence in the upper basin. Okay, so We finished the Upper Chehalis project last year, and so we're moving our intensive monitoring down to the New Whatcom to pair with a smolt trapping project for the life cycle monitoring. And before I forget, don't want to forget chum. They're the prettiest fish, as Amy says. So we're gonna head there. So we're heading downstream to the lower basin of Chehalis. And jumping right into it, the abundance. So Amy did a presentation at this symposium last year and covered the 2017. One of the data gaps was we've suspected that we've had an underestimation of chum in the basin for a long time. And so we are trying to determine a better way, a more precise way of estimating chum. So Amy found in the first year that the entire basin estimate was, 18,600. And just Wainuchi and Satsup, the updated method for estimation came back at 28,000, which is a pretty big jump from what the current method is using. So the 2018 season, the current method had 28,000 for the entire basin, including Hump Tulips, Wainuchi, and Satsup. And we added Hump Tulips into the survey in 2018 and came up with 50,000 in for just those three streams. So that's kind of an important look at that. So 50,000 may seem like a lot, but for a mass spawner, they historically have had much greater numbers in the basin. Distribution of chum. Since Amy did the ones on Wainuchi and Satsup last year, I'm going to just focus on the Hump Tulips. They actually spawn throughout the majority of the basin here, but they do have their little hot spots where they like to, they are heavily concentrated, and those hot spots are valuable information for restoration projects, since chum contribute vital ocean-derived nutrients for other salmonids that are in the basin. So restoration activities, you know, looking at these might be a good idea to look at those. They might help out your restoration. Okay, so area covered for chum so far is Satsa, Wainuchi, and the Hump Tulips here. And the areas that we haven't looked for those dense populations are these areas right here. They don't tend to spawn up in the upper headwaters that much. All right, I'm out of time, she said. So thank you guys.